If you have your Bibles with you, we want to just have a short reading here in the Word of God in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Ezekiel, chapter 33. We can maybe just read the first 7 verses for the sake of time. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, and blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman upon the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of at my mouth and warn them from me. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own precious and infallible word. The prophet in the previous chapter went as a judge to the neighboring nations. And having finished with them, he reads them their doom in the previous 8 chapters. And he returns to the children of Israel and receives instruction what he has to say to them. God lets them know what office he was in as a prophet, that of a watchman. This is a tremendous responsibility because he was accountable for the souls of men. Where we live, there's a castle right up on top of a hill, and that was where the Queen of the Moors lived. And whenever she went into that castle, she said she felt safe. And safe in Spanish is segura. And that's why the whole mountain range is called the Sierra de Segura. You have Baez de Segura, you have the Puerta de Segura, you have Sierra de Segura, Ornos de Segura, all the names of the towns are of Segura, of that region. And she, whenever she went in there, she felt safe, and that's where it got its name. And around the base of the mountain, you'll see towers, some distance from the mountain. And those towers were where the watchmen were put. And they stood there in that tower, way up in these high stone towers, and that is where they had to watch if the enemy was coming. And I'm sure whenever they saw something, they had some way of making alarm, probably burning a fire or something, to show the folk up in the castle that an enemy was coming. And this watchman, he had a tremendous responsibility. And you can imagine the credentials that this man had to have. You couldn't put a blind man up in the tower. He had to be a man who had very good eyesight, who could see very, very well, especially even in the dark. Because, of course, an enemy is going to come when there's least light to try and get in and to attack by surprise. And so this man had to be someone local, someone who knew who was who. Because, especially there in those towns where we live, whenever a stranger comes into the town, they know right away it's a stranger. Everybody knows everybody else. And let me tell you, they look at you. They look up and down. They just stare at you. There's no qualms about that. Whenever we first went down, we had to suffer that for quite some time because we were the only foreigners in the place. But so he had to be somebody who knew who was who. And he had to have... Had to be for somebody who was trustworthy. It wasn't going to be somebody who was a lazy sluggard who would be up there maybe a couple of hours, think, well, I don't see anybody about. I'm sure there's nothing coming. I'll have a wee sleep here for 15 minutes. No. Had to be somebody that you could trust, somebody that was vigilant, somebody that was watchful, somebody that would be on their guard at all times. He would know the danger of the enemy getting in. Imagine what would happen if the enemy came and the trumpet was not sounded. You can imagine. Maybe see him sleeping and they creep in past and the city would be attacked by surprise and the people wouldn't be ready for the attack and there'd be a tremendous slaughter, tremendous bloodshed. That would come about if the watchman was not watchful. Because the enemy would be looking at him to try and get in past whenever the moment, in the right moment, whenever he was distracted by something else. Or maybe looking at something else, or maybe tired, maybe getting weary. And then they would be able to get in past and take the city by surprise. Sad to say, there are many men who are supposed to be ministers of the gospel, and they're not sounding the trumpet. They're not sounding the truth. They're telling the people, oh, you're fine as long as you come along to the church, as long as you be a good neighbor, as long as you do this and that and the other thing, you will be okay. And many of the people are happy enough with that. They're happy enough in their morality. And they go on thinking that this is the way into glory. What a tremendous shock is going to come upon them whenever the Lord says, depart from me, I do not know you. No, we have to know Christ. It has to be somebody who knows the Lord. Somebody that is already illuminated by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sad to say, there are many who are false teachers. They're teaching a false gospel. Just like that priest. I believe that the Church of Rome is doing, they're looking around the world to see who is having success. And to me, it just seems like a Roman Catholic, Joel Osteen. I don't know if you've ever heard of Joel Osteen, but he has, I think, the biggest church in America. And he doesn't deny or doesn't condemn anybody. Even an atheist, he says, he wouldn't condemn an atheist. How would an atheist get into heaven if he doesn't believe in God? But this is what he says. And he just thinks he's there to encourage the people in their lives. And really, religion is just that little push behind them to keep them going. And this is what the Rome is doing today. It's a false religion. But today I have to be a watchman. And I have to blow the trumpet, as the verse says. Cry aloud. There in Isaiah 58:1, it says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. This is the responsibility of every preacher. And it's a tremendous responsibility. But my first point is the fact that there is a watchman demonstrates that there is danger. If we have a watchman there in the doorway, it means that there's danger outside. There has to be somebody there to be vigilant, to be able to give the warning. If there was no danger, well, that man's wasting his time sitting up in that tower. He could be doing something more productive. He could be out working in the fields. He could be doing something else. He's just wasting his time if there's no such thing as danger out there, if there's no enemy to be afraid of. But no, the fact that there was a watchman shows that there is real danger. There is an enemy. There's an enemy of our souls. As Revelation says, there's the pale horseman, that death is coming. There's that great enemy, that last enemy, death, is coming. We don't know when it's going to come, but we have to be ready whenever it comes. And it's coming. It's coming for each one of us, for rich and poor. Remember that? Those two men there in Luke 16. There's a rich man and a poor man. That old poor beggar, Lazarus, there he was. He just wished to be able to eat some of the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table. He had nobody else but the dogs to lick his sores. And yet and all, he died, but he was taken to glory. Because although he hadn't much, he had the Lord. But the rich man who had everything, who could have fiestas every day, who had feasts, who had his brothers round to eat with him and his friends, and had a tremendous time every day. He was clothed in the best, seemed to be in the peak of health, and yet and all, he died too. Death came to him as well. And there he was, in hell, says he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Yes, friends, there is an enemy. That enemy is coming. And it is a terrible enemy because it will separate us forever from being able to be seen. After death, there is no hope. There is no hope. That man had a knowledge of the gospel because he started to pray after he died. It was too late then. He wanted somebody to go and tell his brothers that they wouldn't come to this awful place of torment. And he said, if Lazarus, if you would send him, they would believe him and they would repent. He knew that they had to repent. But every prayer he made was denied. Every prayer he made was too late. Everything was too late. He was not prepared for the enemy, and the enemy took him unawares. He had a wee bit of knowledge, but no, he thought he was in the fit of health. He was eating, he was feasting, he was having a great time. But the enemy took him. Yes, there's an unstoppable enemy coming. And he's getting near every day. You don't know when he'll strike. Now the watchman, he could not stop the enemy. That wasn't his job. His job wasn't up there to fight and to stop the enemy. His job was just to warn that the enemy was near. That it was coming. That was all he could do. But it was very, very, very important that he would do that. The watchman, he could blow the trumpet. But it was up to the people to respond to the warning. And I know there's some folk and they're hyper-Calvinists. And they say, oh, but that man can't respond. And I know man is dead in his sins. It is spiritually impossible a man would respond. The thing is, the Bible tells us that we have to give the warning. And it is man's responsibility to respond. You know, whenever Christ met that man with a withered arm, what did he say to him? He said, stretch forth your arm. But he couldn't do it. It was physically impossible. But he believed in the word of Christ and he did it by faith. In the very moment that he had that faith, God gave him the faith and gave him the power to do it. And he did it. He obeyed. He obeyed the voice of Christ. That paralyzed man that was brought in by those four men that lowered him down through the roof. There he was. He couldn't move. He couldn't move a muscle. He couldn't do anything for himself. But what did Christ say to him? He says, arise, take up your bed and walk. What did he say? Oh, I can't. I can't move. I've been like this since I was born. No. He immediately obeyed. And he got up. He came in with his head on the bed. He went out with the bed on his head. Friends, he did it through faith. He believed the word of God. And God gave him the power to do it. And there's many who think it's no point in even going and evangelizing because man cannot do anything. But God tells man to repent and to turn to Christ. And praise God, it's God Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. We know that man will not look for God. But praise God, the Lord draws those unto himself. And friend, if you feel that drawing of the Lord, I'm telling you, cry out for mercy. Praise God, he can save you. He will save you. He can give you that life eternal. You have to believe. You have to repent. You have to cry out, Lord, save me. Praise God, there's deliverance for those who heed the warning. Why do people not heed the warning? Because they love their sin. They love the pleasures of this world. And the devil tells them that they have plenty of time. Enjoy yourselves while you're young. Oh, I know. I heard a story of a young girl, 19. And she went along to one of the missions many, many years ago. And she was disturbed. And she was weeping. And she knew she needed to be saved. She knew that God was working in her heart. But you know, she thought she was young. She still wanted the world. She still wanted to taste the world. She still wanted to go with her friend. She didn't want to miss what the world offered. And she went out and she rejected Christ. And later on that week, I think it was a Thursday, she was down on her knees scrubbing the hearth with a brush and a bucket of water. And she just slumped over the bucket down. She thought she had years. But what did Christ say? Thou fool, this Thursday, thy soul will be required of thee. There's maybe someone here, and I can't offer you 1 minute, never mind a day, or an hour, or a week. But I tell you, don't be like that man who thought, oh, he had made it all. He made it rich. There he was. He says, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build bigger, and I'll just sit back and enjoy it all. And for years I'll have this. I'll be able to settle down and not work anymore. God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Friends, we don't know when death can come. The enemy could be a lot closer than you think. And I'm sounding the warning now that the enemy is near. The enemy is very, very near. You have to prepare. You have to prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. Friend, you're going to meet God as an enemy? Dear, help you. If you're not in Christ today, if you don't come even right now, there's no telling what a day or even an hour can bring forth. We had a man came to our church, and he was there in the meeting. Seemed to be in fine health. That evening he died. We're not guaranteed, friends, that we're going to see tomorrow. Doesn't matter what your state of wealth or health may be. Some we think the Lord can just and say, today. He has the date written down when you're going to leave this scene of time. Why will ye die? Here is a question in the verse 11. There he is, the Lord pleading with these people. And he says unto them, why will ye die? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why will ye die? Why will you choose death whenever life is offered to you? Because these people who heeded the call, heeded the warning, delivered their soul. Let me tell you, don't listen to the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. And he says, oh, you will lose out accepting Christ. Let me tell you, you'll lose out not accepting Christ. Christian, we are called to be watchmen. You know, we know what the Bible says, but really, do we really believe it? Can we really take it in that there is a hell? There is a punishment that will never, ever finish? That your loved ones will never get out if they're not saved? Do you really believe in that awful place? If so, what are you doing to warn those around you? Oh, praise God, there are some who are sounding the trumpet and they're sounding it sure. Maybe you are here and you're scared to say a word for the Lord. You're scared to do something for the Lord. You're scared to speak to a group or get up in a children's meeting. And I know it can be a terrifying thing. I remember the first time I was to give the children's message there in whenever I was in the Whitfield College of the Bible. And we used to go down and help there in the Ravenhill Road with the brother Noel Stevenson. I was in at the same time with him. And there's 360 children from all over Belfast. And sometimes it was chaos, let me tell you. But I thought, how am I going to keep control of 360 children? And if I lose control of them, what a fool I will be. And all the workers, of course, they had done it many times, and I never did it in my life. And I was worried of being a fool. And I was going over that message, and I was thinking, I was sweating, I was worried about what this was going to be like. And I can remember Noel come up to me on the Thursday, because it was on a Friday night, and he says, you know, Lyle, whenever you're looking down on those little children tomorrow, he says, you remember this. The majority of those children will end up in hell. And you know, whenever I thought on that, I felt so ashamed. Because I wasn't worried about the children. I was worried about me. I was worried about being a fool. And I wasn't worried about them children one bit. But I'm telling you, that changed my vision. And I forgot about everybody else that night. And all I thought, I have to do all in my power to convince these children that Jesus is the only way into heaven. And praise God, 11 little children profess faith that night. But friends, are you just worried about you? Are you really worried about those around you that are going to hell? And who will probably end up in hell? Because we know that straight is the gate that ends to life, and few there be that find it. What are we doing to reach the Lord? Are you worried about yourself? Are you really worried about those that are lost? Are you worried about your reputation? Are you worried about people laughing at you? Friends, they've laughed at the prophets. They stoned the prophets. They killed the prophets. This has always been the story. The preaching of the word of God seems as foolishness to those who are lost. But to those who believe, praise God, it is the message of salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we have to believe that. And that is why I'm in Spain. I wouldn't be in Spain for any other reason. If I thought I was there just for the sun. Because I tell you, whenever you're there and it's 47 degrees, you don't feel it going outside. And it was 47 degrees this summer. You don't feel like doing anything. But for the sake of these people that are going to hell, you're there to preach to them. You're there to warn them. You're there to sound the trumpet. You're there to tell them that they're lost, that they're going to hell. And there's no other way, only through Christ, where they can be saved. What about the land of Spain? You know, there's many towns and villages who have no watchmen. There's no churches. There's no pastors. There's many churches, and they haven't got pastors. But there's many places where they haven't even got a church. Many towns where they haven't got a Christian living in the town. And yet the door is open. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? I would ask you to pray that God would send forth more laborers. That's what the Lord told us to tell. He told us, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth more laborers. We need more laborers. I thank God for this young man from Cuba. Pray for him. He's the only Christian in his family. His wife is the only Christian in her family. He came from Cuba 15 years ago, got saved in Spain. He's doing studies at the minute, but he was down there, and we praise God for him. He's well read. He loves the Lord. He has a real vision for the Lord to try and reach many for the lost. Pray for him. The Lord will make him a great watchman, and that he will see many brought into the kingdom. Pray for his mother. He hopes to go out to Cuba whenever I go back. I go back on the 31st of October, and I'll meet him just at the airport, and then he leaves to go to Cuba. He has to fix the roof of his mother's house. That was even before the hurricane. I don't know if the roof's still there now after the hurricane, but he was going to go to fix a roof before anything about this, any news of this hurricane, but I don't know what it's like now. But you know what his mother gets for a pension? 12 euros a month. Pastor gets 20 euros a month. And we are helping out that little church there that he used to go to as a boy. And they hope to try and fix their roof. Their roof is just boards that they found on the street and put over probably tiles that they could find somewhere. But pray for that little work. You know what a tray of chicken costs in the supermarket in Cuba? 10 euros. That little lady gets 12 euros a month. These folk need our help, and we hope to help them. We got the J.C. Ryle's commentaries on the Gospels, and the pastor there has been waiting for over 20 years to be able to get these books. And our brother Ulysses is going to take them out to him. Going to take out a lot of shoes to him, because a pair of shoes would cost a month's wages. So he appreciates anything like that. Friend, there's need. There's such need everywhere. Is there nothing you can do? Is there nothing we can do to help out? Maybe you're not called to go to Spain, but maybe you could help others to go. Maybe you could help others by praying for them, and I thank God for those who are praying. And I tell you, we need prayer. We thank God for those who've got saved down through the years. Our congregation practically has changed. Old folk have died off and gone to glory. Thank God for a wee man, Alfonso, I brought over many years ago with his sister. Sister's since gone to the Lord, but he's still there. He's 96 years old. He's still there, and we praise God for that. But you know, they're going to pass on. They're not going to be there forever. And just pray that indeed the Lord would raise up more. More that the Lord would move in their hearts and save them by his grace, and that we would see a mighty influx of precious souls coming to know the Savior. Let me tell you, are you willing? Are you willing to do whatever the Lord will want you to do? That is the first real, that is really the ability that God wants to see in anyone. It's not great gifts and great knowledge and great brains. It is availability. That is the ability that God wants. Availability. That you're willing to do whatever for the Lord. Now, friends, if you're not going to the prayer meeting, if you're not helping out in your own church, there's no point in you going to Spain. You serve the Lord here at home. You start at home and you work for the Lord. And praise God, the Lord can use you maybe for other things later on. But I hope and pray that you are working for him, because, you know, he deserves our love. He deserves our service. He gave his all that we would be saved. He gave his life. He gave his life's blood that we can be saved, that we can live one day in his presence. Friend, look what he had to pay
for your dad. Are you not willing to give something to him? I pray that you will, that you'd give your life and your service, and that you would give a clear sign to all those around you, that you'd be a watchman, that you would tell them, that you'd warn them. But praise God, we can do more than just sound a trumpet. We can tell them who is mighty to save, Christ himself. Praise God, there's a refuge in Jesus Christ. All those who are in Christ Jesus, praise God, we're not under condemnation. The devil cannot touch us. We're saved for time and for all eternity. If you're not saved tonight, come to Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. Let us now just bow our heads and ask God's blessing upon his word. We pray, O God, that thou indeed would move in the hearts, especially of those unsaved. Lord, I don't know how long they have. I don't know where the enemy may be. Might be in a car right now that's starting up someplace fairly close. Could be starting to come down the road right now, but don't know. Lord, we don't know. But Lord, we know that thou dost know. Just help us, O God, to be prepared. That whenever that enemy, that last enemy strikes, that we can say, it's well with my soul. I'm in Christ Jesus. The devil can't touch me. I'm going home to glory. Praise God, whenever that death comes, we'll be more alive than ever. Because we'll have eternal life. We'll be in Christ Jesus. Well, praise God, we'll be in glory. We will see the Savior. What a day that will be. Praise God, that enemy doesn't hold any fear for the believer. Praise God, it is just a door that opens up to glory. And Lord, we pray that you would help us while we're still here, while it is still day. Help us, O God, to labor for thee. Help us, O God, to warn all those around us. Lord, we don't want to see them lost and alone. We want to see them over there. We want to see them saved. We want to see them transformed into children of God. And Lord, we pray that you'd even send forth more laborers here in this place. Raise up more, Lord, to sound forth the warning, that gospel warning, that many more would come to know Christ and that they would flee from the wrath to come. Oh, Father, we pray that thou would just bless us, guard over us, Lord, and keep us safe. And may we know the hand of the Lord upon us for good. May the blessing of the triune God be our portion now and forevermore. Amen.